Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Muslim Europe: A Journey in Search of a 1400-Year History by Tharik Hussain, is a work of travel writing, popular history, and cultural recovery. It follows the author across parts of the Mediterranean and Western Europe, including Cyprus, Sicily, Malta, Portugal, and Spain, to examine the long Muslim presence on the continent from the 7th century onward. Rather than treating Islam in Europe as a recent migrant story, Hussain presents it as an older and more complex strand of European history. The book combines visits to mosques, ruins, museums, palaces, towns, and forgotten heritage sites with reflections on how public memory is formed and why Muslim contributions have often been minimized. Its purpose is not to offer a narrow academic monograph, but to make a neglected past visible to general readers and to challenge the assumption that European identity has been shaped only by Christian and Jewish inheritances. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a Mediterranean route that reframes Muslims as early European historical actors. One of the book's central choices is geographical. Hussain does not begin with modern immigration to Britain, France, Germany, or the Netherlands, which is the usual frame for public discussion of Muslims in Europe. Instead, he looks to the Mediterranean as an early zone of contact, settlement, conquest, commerce, scholarship, and cultural exchange. Cyprus provides an early point of entry, with Muslim presence dated to the mid-7th century, while Sicily, Malta, Portugal, and Spain reveal different forms of Muslim rule, influence, survival, and erasure. This route matters because it shifts the reader's mental map. Europe is not presented as a sealed northern or western Christian space occasionally entered by outsiders, but as a porous continent whose southern and island frontiers were deeply connected to North Africa, the Levant, and the wider Islamic world. By moving through physical sites rather than presenting a purely chronological survey, Hussain shows how heritage survives unevenly. Some traces remain visible in architecture, language, archaeology, agriculture, and urban design, while others require explanation because later national stories have overwritten them. Secondly, Islamic amnesia as a problem of public memory and identity. A recurring idea in Muslim Europe is Islamic amnesia, the neglect or marginalization of Muslim histories in popular accounts of Europe. Hussain treats this not simply as an omission in textbooks, but as a force that shapes modern identity. If European history is repeatedly described as exclusively Christian or Judeo-Christian, Muslims appear as late arrivals who must continually justify their belonging. The book argues that this framing distorts the past and influences the present, especially in political climates where anti-Muslim rhetoric depends on portraying Islam as alien to Europe. Hussain's intervention is therefore historical and civic at the same time. He seeks to restore context to episodes often reduced to invasion, conflict, or decline. This does not require denying wars or religious tensions. Rather, it means placing them alongside long periods of coexistence, intellectual exchange, and shared material culture. The strength of this approach is that it connects memory to social consequence. Historical erasure is shown as more than an academic problem, because it can weaken the confidence of European Muslims and make wider societies less able to understand their own plural inheritance. Thirdly, Muslim contributions to European knowledge, art, and religious coexistence. The book highlights Muslim Europe as a contributor to the intellectual and artistic formation of the continent. Hussain discusses figures and traditions associated with philosophy, medicine, scientific curiosity, architecture, and literary culture, including well-known names from Islamic and Andalusi history, such as Ibn Rushd and Abbas ibn Firnas. The point is not merely to assemble a list of achievements, but to show that ideas moved through multilingual and multi-religious societies. In places such as Al-Andalus and Sicily, Muslim, Christian, and Jewish communities interacted under changing political conditions, producing translations, administrative practices, artistic forms, and core cultures that later European societies inherited or adapted. The book also emphasizes the importance of Jewish life under Muslim rule, particularly the periods in which Jewish scholarship and communal life flourished in Islamic Spain. This complicates simplified civilizational narratives. Europe's development did not occur in isolation, nor did the Renaissance emerge from a single cultural source. Hussain presents the continent's history as a web of borrowings and transformations, where Islamic civilization was one of the channels through which classical, scientific, philosophical, and artistic materials entered European life. Fourthly, travelogue method that links ruins, museums, and living memory. Muslim Europe is shaped by Hussain's method as a travel writer. He often approaches history through places that can still be visited: old mosques, converted buildings, archaeological remains, museums, streets, fortifications, tombs, and landscapes marked by layered rule. This gives the book a different texture from a conventional survey history. the reader encounters Muslim Europe not only as a sequence of dynasties and dates, but as an uneven archive embedded in towns and terrain. That method has particular value for a subject marked by erasure, because it shows how the past can remain present even when public narratives have ignored it. A museum label, a pattern in ceramics, a place name, or an architectural detail can become evidence of a broader historical world. Hussein's own presence as a British Muslim traveler also matters, though the book is not narrowly autobiographical. His reflections connect heritage to belonging and show how encountering historical sites can reshape personal and communal identity. The result is accessible, concrete, and often more immediate than academic synthesis, because readers are invited to see history as something physically recoverable. Lastly, a popular corrective with limits is academic history. The book's ambition is broad, but its genre sets important limits. Muslim Europe is best understood as a research travelogue and popular historical intervention, not as a specialist academic study offering new archival discoveries or a comprehensive reinterpretation of every period of Muslim presence in Europe. Its focus on early and medieval Mediterranean histories means that other major dimensions, especially the Ottoman Balkans and modern colonial or post-colonial Muslim Europe, receive less central attention than the book's title might initially suggest. Some critics have also cautioned that a recovery project can risk emphasizing moments of coexistence and achievement more strongly than episodes of conflict, hierarchy, or internal tension. These limitations do not cancel the book's value, but they help define how it should be read. It is strongest as an entry point, a narrative map, and a challenge to inherited assumptions. Readers seeking detailed academic debate will need to supplement it with specialist histories. Readers seeking a clear, place-based account of why Islam belongs inside European history will find that its selectivity serves a focused purpose, making an obscured past legible to a wide audience. In conclusion, Muslim Europe is well-suited to readers interested in European history, Islamic heritage, travel writing, interfaith cultural exchange, and the politics of memory. It will be especially useful for European Muslims looking for a historically grounded account of belonging. But it is equally relevant for non-Muslim readers who want to understand why common narratives about Europe's past are incomplete. The book offers practical intellectual benefits. It expands the reader's historical geography, introduces overlooked sites and figures, and provides a framework for questioning inherited categories such as East and West or European and Islamic. Its greatest value is not that it replaces specialist scholarship, but that it translates a large and often fragmented field into an accessible journey. Compared with many books on Islamic Spain or the Crusades, Hussein's work stands out by moving across multiple regions and by combining physical travel with historical recovery. Compared with purely political books on contemporary Islam in Europe, it grounds present debates in a much longer chronology. Its distinct contribution is to show that Muslim Europe is not only a demographic fact of the present, but also a historical reality embedded in the continent's landscapes, institutions, and cultural memory. If you would like to support Tharik Hussein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.